Excellent, excellent. Well, we are glad that you've joined us for this session on men's ministry, models of men's ministry. And so we'll give you a formal introduction here in a minute, but this is Pastor Aaron Pippin and Pastor Daryl Bucher, and I'm Dan Lund. And we're honored to be in this room with you guys. And I believe Jesus is still looking for men on fire for God. Amen? Amen. And so praise God. Anyway, so we are going to do a couple things. At the end, we're going to have panel discussions, you know, so you can just bounce whatever you want off of us, okay? We're going to look real quickly, 5 minutes or less, at the Word. Just a few quick thoughts that hopefully we can all chew on. And we're going to walk you through three models of ministry, pros and cons to each one, and then kind of talk about how those things all need to meld together for a healthy men's ministry, right? None of those stand alone, but they should all come together for a healthy men's ministry. And so these guys have got a lot of experience they'll be sharing with you, and we're just looking forward to growing together. So why don't we pray? All right, Pastor Dale, can you lead us in prayer?
Yeah. Father, we thank you for being with us here today. And Lord, we ask that you would give us wisdom and insight for the men that we are supposed to reach in this generation. It's different than the generation before.
Yep.
And God, we ask for your help, Lord. There are so many different struggles and addictions and so many different ways and avenues that we can go. But Lord, we don't want to do anything that's outside the perimeters of your will and your purpose. And we want everyone, every man, to encounter the presence of the Holy Spirit. So God, today, guide us, direct us, and help us to do everything that you want us to do. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. 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 So let me give you a more formal introduction to these guys now. And first of all, coming from Journey Church in Fremont, Ohio, he started serving in youth ministry and Royal Rangers in 1999. He received his credentials in 2006. Has had the privilege of serving in the men's ministry at Wilmington AG, Montgomery AG, Crossroads Rally. In addition to that, he is a standing Ohio legend in youth ministry, where he is still rocking it for Jesus. He and his wife Lauren have been married since 2008 and have four incredible children. Give it up for Pastor Aaron Pippin. Woo! Come on. Come on, man.
He's not even that excited about me.
Oh, no, he's the man. He's the man. He's the man. And nonetheless, everybody, nonetheless, here we go. Together with his wife, Lori, they've been ministering full-time for over 30 years, served in almost every capacity in the local church. They currently pastor LFC Lima First Church, where God is pouring out his Spirit. Their desire to see the Holy Spirit empower the church so that entire cities, states, and regions can be transformed by Jesus. In addition to pastoring, he also serves as the Region 1 Executive Presbyter. They got two married children, Christian married to Danielle, Lily married to Lucas, both of who serve with them in ministry with their four grandchildren. They got, I needed more music. They also have a thriving men's ministry, which includes their Forge men's nights that you'll hear about. Come on, give it up for Pastor Daryl Bucher. Woo! Woo! And does anybody got an oxygen tank? All right, man.
Punched in the face.
Oh, man. Oh, man, no music for me. It just is what it is, right? So,
Dan Lund.
I'm Dan Lund. Yeah, man. No, so, man, we really are blessed to be with you, though. And I've been serving in ministry for in Ohio Ministry Network for 30 years and just loving Jesus. I got married, had two kids. When God called us to the ministry, I was actually managing a grocery store down in Northwest Arkansas. God said, sell it all and go to Bible college. We graduated in 94, came to Ohio, been here ever since, and youth pastor, worship leader. And the last 13 years, actually, we planted a church. Last 13 years, we were at Parma Bethel Temple. Parma, we changed to Bethel Christian School and Academy. And then a year ago, God saw a change that we didn't see coming, and so I serve as the assistant superintendent here in Ohio. The last year, moved to Columbus, and in June, we'll be taking over the church health department. Yeah. I don't know. I tell people, Pastor Dale, I was set up to fail in this whole endeavor. Assistant superintendent, I had to follow Jim Palmer and Dan Holbrook. Like, what in the world? And now I got to follow the legend, John Musgrave, and trying to pick up, you know, so great men of God. Amen?
Yeah.
And but we really are thankful to be with you. And we're going to share about three models of men's ministry. But before we do that, I want you to turn your Bibles or your phones, whatever. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6 for a minute. And so as you're turning there, we are going to talk about pros and cons and all of that. You'll be hearing from these two amazing guys for about 5 minutes each, of just what God's put upon their heart. We're going to have some prayer today. Amen. praying with each other for Men's Ministry of Ohio. And then let me just tell you too, some of you probably came here on questions wondering, like, when are we going to get a new men's ministry director? All right, so my wife serves as the adult next gen director for Ohio. So kids, men, Nate Ortiz, Megan, or youth with Nate Ortiz, Megan with kids, Royal Rangers, girls ministry, women's ministry, men's ministry, adult, you know, all those ministries, all those directors report to her. So right now, she's filling the gap with Light for the Lost, coordination with the national office. She's the only woman doing men's ministry, right? Kind of filling that gap. We are looking, so be praying with us. We're looking, praying about the right guy for the next season of men's ministry in Ohio. Amen?
Amen.
And so we're thankful for Tom. He was in a crazy time with COVID and all of that stuff. But, you know, we got dreams big for Ohio. Amen?
Yeah.
And we want to see not just men, but men and boys on fire for God.
Amen.
And that's what we're really praying and believing for. And so would you guys pray with us?
Yes.
That as we seek the Lord, that just the right guy will rise up for the next season. We've got a model where women's and girls' ministry are, you know, kind of really melded together, and it's a beautiful thing. And so we want to see more synergy between our men's ministry and our boys' ministry as well. And boys' ministry encompasses not just Royal Rangers, but a lot of churches don't have Rangers, right? And they still need to disciple boys. So just know we're looking at all of those things and just praying about, you know, what God's got for us next here in Ohio. And so, but in 1 Timothy chapter 6, I just want to take just a few minutes and share kind of some top shelf thoughts, if you will, from a message God laid in my heart. And let me just say, if you got a men's or a women's a men's breakfast or a men's event or something, would love to come and share. Just love men's ministry. And as a matter of fact, Brian, give everybody a little hand. He was our men's director in Parma before I came here. So good to see you, Brian. But 1 Timothy 6, 11 through 16, he says, "But you, man of God," how many men of God we got in here?
Come on.
Come on. "You, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith." Come on.
Amen.
Right? Fight the fight. "Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses, in the sight of God who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, and he said, 'I charge you.'" I think we're in a moment right now where the Holy Spirit's looking for men. And he said, "I charge you. Like, I charge you. I challenge you. Impact your city." Amen?
Yeah. Amen?
Impact the men that are around you. Impact that guy you work with every day. Impact. Be an impactor. "I charge you. And keep this command, all these things, without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and the Lord of lords," come on somebody,
"Amen,
"who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever." Fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. I want to take 3 minutes to just give you four quick thoughts. And it's really questions. How do we fight the good fight, right? How do we do this? Number one, we got to ask ourselves these questions. What are we fleeing from? What are we following after? And what are we fighting for, right? And then what are we faithful to? What are we faithful to? And so let me talk to you about this. First of all, what are we fleeing from? He said in verse 1, "But you, man of God," what? Flee from all this, right? Flee from all this. So what's he talking about? Well, it really, if you look back at verses 1 through 10, it was everything from slander to disrespect to envy, right? To strife, malicious talk, evil, the love of money. How many of you know that's not a problem in culture today, right?
No?
I mean, that's completely irrelevant to us. Listen, man, if we want to fight the good fight, can I just tell you something? You got to flee from the wrong fight. If you want to fight the good fight, you got to flee from the wrong fight. I think sometimes we pick the wrong hills to die on.
Yes.
Here's my wife, by the way, everybody. And your interim men's director right there. So what are you fleeing from? You know, are the things you should be fleeing from that you're not, right? And then here's the second thought. What are we following after? This is not enough to just flee. We got to follow, right? It's like that monk on the mountain mentality. You know, it's not enough to just separate ourselves from all the garbage in the world. We've got to draw into Jesus. Amen?
Yeah.
Who are we following after? Like, what are we chasing after? You know? That's why sanctification, it's not just separating ourselves from evil, but it's also drawing unto God. It's that instant and progressive, that battle. And so he says here, what do we need to follow after? What do we need to, he says, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and endurance, and gentleness. So flee from the wrong stuff, but let's run after the right stuff. Amen?
Amen.
Let's run after the Spirit. Let's run after the truth. Like, let's follow after Jesus, no compromise. Amen?
Amen?
No compromise. Thirdly, what are we fighting for? He says in verse 12, fight the good fight of faith and take hold of the eternal life. Do you know, it's amazing. It never ceases to amaze me how stupid some of the things are that we fight over in the church. Come on. I mean, it literally baffles my mind. Some of the stuff that people fight over. Like, why would we ever see a church split over the color of carpet? Come on. Right? The stupid stuff that we fight over. And, you know, I was looking in the mirror one day and I said, you know, you don't have to look far to find stupid. Sometimes it's just staring you right back in the face. Because we can all be stupid sometimes, right? And sometimes we can all pick the wrong hill to die on. The wrong fight to fight. And so, what are you fighting for? I hope we're fighting for righteousness. I hope we're fighting for families. Come on. I hope we're fighting for men to rise up and to fix their eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. I hope that's what we're fighting for. And then the last thing we got to ask ourselves, what are we faithful to? What are we faithful to? Because I'll tell you, I know guys that are so faithful to the golf course, they wouldn't miss it, right?
Come on.
I mean, man, sunshine and they're there. Forget anything else, they're there. I know guys that are just so faithful and so committed to certain things. What are we faithful to? Hey, there's nothing wrong. I love football, basketball, you know, whatever. Pickleball's the new thing, right? There's ball this, ball that. That's great. Enjoy it. But listen, are you more faithful to that than you are to the call of God and what He wants you to do in your life? Because He's called you to impact your sphere of influence. And the reality is, I look around this room and I don't even know you, so I certainly don't know the guys in your circle of influence, right? Any more than you do mine. That's why He needs every one of us faithful to be impactors, right? Faithful to make a difference. Faithful to what God has called us to. And so, I'm going to wind this up, but let's make it personal for a minute. Ask yourself this. What am I fleeing from? Right? Some of you, let's get real, some of you probably need to flee from that dark room about 11 o'clock at night when everybody's in bed and you sit on the computer.
Yeah.
Like, there's things that some of you need to flee from. What are you fleeing from? What am I following after? Like, what are your passions? If you say you want to see men won for Jesus and you want to see, you know, men leading in their homes and families, then what are you doing? Like, what are you following after? What are you fighting for? What are you really passionate about? What battles are you picking, right? I saw just probably a month ago these two people that got in fight in Aldi's because the one person cut the other one off in the line, right? I'm like, what? They'll fight over that. They'll have road rage because they lose a parking spot or their place in the lane. But what are we fighting for? Let's fight for Jesus, amen? Let's fight for Jesus. And then ask yourself, what am I really faithful to? I hope we're faithful to Jesus. I certainly hope we're faithful to our spouse, for those of you that are married, amen?
Amen.
Hope we're faithful to our families. And I hope we're faithful to the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these other things will be added to you. Amen?
Amen.
And so, God help us. God help us, man. So we're gonna roll on, and I hope you'll just kind of let that resonate in your heart. Think about that and what God's calling you to. But right now, we're gonna move from that, and we're gonna bounce into models for men's ministry. And so these guys are gonna help me out, and Daryl right now is coming to talk to you about this next one.
Awesome. Hey boys, how you doing?
Awesome.
Hey, don't be a bunch of sissies. Hey boys, how you doing? I don't play around, man. I'll punch you right in the mouth, man.
Come on, come on.
But I love you. I love you. I just want you to know. Sorry, ladies that are in this room. I saw a couple gals.
It's fivefold ministry, right?
Five. You better believe it. Fivefold ministry. I like that. That's not on the A-Pest.
Oh, no,
we
no.
need to add that one.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we want to talk about this first model for men's ministry. And it really has to do with relationships. How many believe the relationships are important?
Yeah.
You see, when we come into a church, many of our churches, it's more about the rules than it is the relationship.
Come on.
Right? We've got the, you don't do this, and you shouldn't do this, and you shouldn't look like this, and you shouldn't wear that. All these different rules. But I will tell you, when people walk into your churches, I hope that it's more about a relationship and making a connection with someone rather than it is trying to fix someone into the box that we have created.
Yeah.
Right? And so this first model is relational driven. What this does is this creates a space for men to fellowship and connect in smaller settings. How many would say that that is kind of what you guys have going on right now in your churches? Anybody? Just a few of them. Relationship. The ministry is more, it's more organic, right? It's more grassroots. It just comes up. Some people, it could be even sporadic, just at the very last second, hey guys, let's go do this or whatever. But it's not as organized as you would think, but ministry is still happening and relationships are being built, because in men's ministry, it's not going to be face to face, it's going to be side to side.
Right.
We're in this, we're in this together. Timing of it, it's semi-frequent, sporadic, but it's simply getting guys together to do ministry or to do life together. Yeah. And I don't know about you, maybe you have this going on in your church, there's pickup basketball games going. I am beyond that age. The chiropractor loves it when I do that, and it's not going to happen anymore. But for us, we'll get a group of guys and let's go shooting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from Redneckville. Right, I'm from Lima, Ohio. Right, let's go shooting. Let's blow. Does anyone have any Tannerites? We will blow something up and take videos of it.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a great time in the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fantastic. How many hunters do we have in the room? Any hunter? Any deer hunters? Right. So here's the deal. There, you guys will know this. There's nothing like when you get that harvest and then you call a group of guys and you go traipsing through the woods when it's pitch black outside. You're scared half to death. No one's going to admit it, but you're pulling that harvest, that deer out of the field together, and you're all everyone's enthused and thralled when you get one. Right. Jared tries to be a hunter. Right. For us, we'll go and we're like, hey man, let's go get some wings, and everyone will pull out the bikes and we'll cruise on down to St. Mary's and do that. It's relationship driven. It's side by side. And there are pros, but there are cons to this model as well. The pros are this. The guys get to know each other better. Right? Guys get to know each other better. You can get to learn to have relationships, get to know their attitudes, their likes, what they're really into. The planning is more on the men than it is the actual leader of the group, right? It is more on someone, really, actually, you can find good leaders doing it this way. Someone who wants to get something together, it just comes up naturally. And then there's not really a curriculum, there's not really a resource cost involved for the ministry to run. You're just going out, let's go get wings.
Yep.
Right, we're going out tonight. We're going to the circle track tonight. Right, it's those types of. How many want to go to the smash up derby at the fair? Right, it's relationship driven. But here's the bad part about it just being that, which it's still good. The bad part is this: if that's the only thing happening, guys can grow closer to each other, which is a good thing. But they won't necessarily grow spiritually in their relationship with Jesus.
Right.
And here's where the toxic, I've seen it a million times, it can get really toxic if you get a guy that he's struggling in his marriage and a guy who has just got through a divorce, that it's toxic. Many times you'll see the one talk the other one out of keeping their commitment. The relationship is there, but it is not very healthy. Right? And so that's why we've got to be sure that there's accountability and that there is some depth of spirituality in those things. So that is the first model of men's ministry that we wanted to present to you today. It's relationship driven. Number two, who's coming?
Come on, give it up for Pastor Ed. Good job, Pastor Ed. Good job.
All right.
I might be, do we have a Sharpie? We don't? That's our, oh, yes. All right. I might be throwing something up on the, up on that gigantic post-it note here. Thank you, Pastor Darrell. So model two is what we're looking at. This is discipleship. So we can have all the relationship we want, but like Pastor Darrell said, if we're not leading, if we're not teaching, if we're not discipling, then we're just a bunch of dudes that are hanging out and yep. having some bro time, and then like, you know, fist bump, peace out, and then we leave.
Right.
And there's no value, there's no heart, there's no connection, right? Other than surfacing, right? And so we've seen, I think we've seen enough of that, right? Like if we're gonna have life change take place, then it's gonna go beyond just the relationship. There needs to be, there has to be, there must be discipleship, because otherwise we're just a club, and that church should not be that. Men's ministry should not be that. There needs to be holding somebody's feet to the fire. There needs to be accountability. I think one of the big things, at least for me, that comes from that is consistency. So we talked a little bit about this with youth ministry leaders, and some of you guys were in the session earlier this morning. Consistency, that if we are only presenting, hey, here I am in men's ministry, love the Lord, love you guys, you know, slug somebody in the shoulder in the name of Jesus, call it the fivefold ministry, and then we bounce out, right? Like, that was so great, we had hot dogs and blew up junk, like, this is great, yeah, man, and then we leave, but we don't have consistency in our life, right? Yeah. So then we go home, yeah. and we're calling our kids stupid. We're yelling and screaming at him about his report card. We're ignoring our wife.
Come on.
We're not having those heart-to-heart conversations and allowing her to also be somebody who is some additional iron sharpening on our iron. Right? For me, my wife helps me be a better follower of Jesus.
Come on.
She helps me be a better husband. She helps me be a better father. And if I'm not allowing her to speak into, because she sees, right? Just like I see stupid in the mirror, she sees stupid looking at me, right? And I'm like, if you can just keep that here but not on your face, like I know what you're thinking, right? But still, like I need that. I need her to let me know where I'm missing. So consistency would be a big part. When we talk about discipleship, we're talking about connection, okay? So if we are saying, hey, discipleship is key, discipleship is pivotal beyond just the relational, then that has to be in action. We can't have stagnant discipleship. It needs to be discipleship in action. And what does that look like? That looks like, some of you guys saw this already from me this morning, that looks like we share Jesus, okay? Yeah. And maybe it starts with sharing, hey, you should come to, right? Men's discussion. We're gonna have hot dogs. Yes, we're gonna, you know, we splurged and went with steak burgers, or we actually like butchered a cow and now we're gonna have some like steaks, right? Whatever that may be. Hey, let's share, because from that we see lives being impacted and changed, right? So pouring, sharing from Jesus into other people's lives impacts others. Jesus changes, right? Pastor Dan said it. We're not to change people. We're to lead them to the one that can.
Yep.
Nobody changed me. Jesus changed me.
Yeah.
Jesus transformed
Amen.
My life. Right. I'm not who I was because I heard a really great sermon. Mm-hmm. I'm no longer who I was because Jesus.
Yeah. Come on.
Somebody led me to him. Somebody introduced me to him. Other men in my life challenged me, led me, called me, inspired me, but Jesus changed me. So I'm not sharing Jesus so they be like me. I'm sharing Jesus so they can be like him.
Amen.
So lives change. That brings us down here to understanding, okay? I begin to have a greater understanding of who Jesus is in my own life. I share about Jesus. I teach Jesus. I'm discipling somebody. Oh, I didn't see this before because I was preparing to share.
Yep.
I saw somebody's life transformed. Now I understand him in a greater way. Well, what does that do? Man, that turns my focus from inward to outward.
Come on.
Right? So now I've moved here, which pours back into, I'm definitely going to share because, man, I watched this life be changed, also mine. I gained a greater understanding of the transformation of Jesus Christ because I invested in discipleship.
Yeah.
I see this person is different. I recognize God's godliness, not my attempt at being holy in them, right? It is God transforming them. A changed life. I understand who he is greater because I've studied.
I've worked to make myself approved. I've invested in this life, and now my focus is more outward, so I have this greater desire to share, and it becomes this cyclical thing that begins to make those connections. So it's about connection. Number two would be about teaching, right? We need to make sure that we are prepared in teaching. I know this isn't your guys' ministry, and you guys have never experienced this in Ohio because Ohio is better than everybody else. But in other places, like the state of North, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. No, a little bit. Slightly. 99%, 100% serious. but they will come in, and they won't be ready. Right? And maybe this is some of you guys. Maybe like, hey, we said we were going to start at 6. It's 6:30. We're still shooting the breeze. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on, let's go. For me, I am seeing it as valuable time away from my family. Mm-hmm. I want to be with my kids. Mm-hmm. I want to be with my wife. And I don't mean like, well, yes, I do, but also just to hang out, right? But I want the time that I'm not with them is it, that time, that clock ticks so loud in my head and in my spirit.
Yeah.
I hear it, tong, tong, tong. I'm not with my kids, I'm not with my wife. This time is, I'm not getting it back. And we're just sitting around not doing anything. So I think having that timing, that preparation, that teaching ready to go. Yeah. Men are coming in, your time is valuable. We're gonna start whether there's two of us and we know the other 20 are coming late.
Yeah,
we're
right.
Going now.
That's right.
Let's go now.
Yep.
They're gonna miss out, and that's on them. We're gonna be men that are going to have a high conviction for our time and for the time of others, right? I just mentioned timing, but we're talking about pouring God's word into our men. We're not just here to have fun. Yeah, we wanna have a good time, but we need to have God's word. We need to have that being delivered. It can't just be, hey, like, you know, let's just sit around and, you know, and just talk about whatever comes to our minds. There's time for that. There's time for that. And that can be scheduled, and that can be planned, and that can be prepared. But I think it's important to build out that plan of connection, teaching, and timing. And so here's a few of the pros, right? When we look at discipleship, and some of these will sound familiar, we have men getting together. They get to know each other better. I love the times of being able to connect with other guys when we do have that chatting time frame. But I love seeing guys get real when we start talking about Jesus. And we start talking about not just what he's done in our life, but what he's currently doing, right? So Jesus is alive and active in me, not because he turned my life from sin to who I am today years ago, but because this morning, as I was putting on that full armor of God, right? And as I said, Holy Spirit, I have no clue what today holds, but you do, right? So help me be prepared as I step into this. Refill me, refresh me, renew me. I'm available to be used by you. And so when I see and hear other men having those conversations and we're dialoguing in that, for me, that getting to know somebody increases. It feels like it's like a folded steel that just begins to build on itself. And when it's refined, right, forged, right?
Yeah.
When that folding happens, there's layers that begin to strengthen other layers. And you begin to apply pressure in that. And that's that crucible that men need. Another pro is men grow spiritually stronger in their faith. Obviously. Right? When we have God's word, it strengthens us. It grows us. It provides consistency and accountability. Something that men have a struggle with, and this would be painting with a broad brush. Not you guys, because you're here. You're the best. You're our favorites. But those others that are outside this room. The weak. No, I'm just kidding. Men struggle with gaining friends and maintaining friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like real friends. Mm-hmm. And because it's always a joke when you got these guys that are getting married, they're like, hey, yeah, we were in third grade together. Would you be one of my groomsmen? Right? And so there's this starvation of friendship that is rampant in men. Not just in church, but in men.
Yeah.
And now it's been compounded because we've come out of this time where people have been physically distanced, and now everything is remote. But yet we need this time to come together. And how do we do that? How do you become friends with somebody new? Like how do you risk stepping out in that? What does that look like? How do you have those conversations? How do you maintain that? And the value of being able to have multiple friends, mm-hmm. right? And we're not talking about like, hey, let's go to the arcade, you're my bestie. Like, but like men that like, hey, yes, you're across the country. One of my closest and dearest best friends is in Oregon. And we talk regularly. And I'll say, dude, I'm struggling with whatever. And we will dialogue, text, phone call, FaceTime, whatever. So moving into and out of this like, hey, let's just be buddies in a room to friends.
Good.
Godly, refined friends that are helping to hold each other accountable. That accountability thing is key. Cons would be, again, there's going to be planning. There's going to be a lot of intentionality in the schedule, okay? And then having to be the jerk that goes, okay, guys, we're starting. We're gonna honor your time, and we're gonna start and we're gonna end on time. So when the chit chat happens there at the end, okay, guys, this is it. We love you. You're welcome to go. You're welcome to stay. But in 20 minutes, lights out. Peace out. Okay?
Yeah.
Right. I think that when we set that standard, just like some of you who are raising your own young men, you set a standard for your child that as he becomes a young man, you say, this is where the bar is now. It's higher. It doesn't seem like it's possible, but they rise to that occasion. Yeah. And we do the same thing as men together. Another con would be curriculum costs. Again, it's involved in the ministry. If that is an issue, contact me. I will help. I will do whatever I can personally to help you and your ministry to be able to have some of those resources.
Bible
some
engagement, man.
Yeah.
It's free now.
Yeah. Some we have. Some we can help you get. Some may even be available free that you're not even aware of. Mm-hmm. Right? And so other people in this room, not just me, but other people in this room have resources that they may not even be aware of. So ask.
Yeah,
you're not a poor men's ministry leader if you don't know how to do something. You are a learning, growing men's leader when you ask how to do something.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So let's not be afraid of not having the answer. Let's lean into that. Hey, that's great. I don't really know. Let's find out together. And then the last con is outreach aspect. We talked about there can be this, with the lack of discipleship, it becomes a club. And that's the last thing that the world needs. That's the last thing that men need. And it's absolutely the last thing that the church needs. So moving it into this thing of when you recognize it, right? Like one of the things that we struggle with as men, because from the first man all the way to us, there has been this apathy that sets in, that we just kind of sit back and we go, well, I'll just watch and see what takes place. And there we have the situation and so many issues that we've had in life and in culture today, because good men have sat back and just been curious to see what would happen. So let's step into the fray. Let's not allow apathy to set in. Let's lean into some of the difficult things. And what I tell my kids and what I tell my son is, as men, we do difficult things. So rise to that occasion. Thank you, guys.
That's right. Awesome. So here's the third model, everybody. It's events driven. We've all been to events, right? I mean, you're at an event right now, right? /conference/discipleship/relational. Hopefully all of this is fitting into this weekend right now, this time together. But, events are awesome. They create a space for men to get together in a larger setting. A lot of times they're invitation friendly. Things are done on a bigger level, right? Which is a great thing. And so many times some of you are more maybe a rural church, smaller group. It's awesome to be able to get together in that bigger setting where you're going, guys are seeing, I'm not the only one in this, right? I'm not the only one fighting the fight. Look at this room. Look at this crowd. And there's a synergy when men get together and worship together. Come on.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's powerful stuff. And so, when you look at this, the ministry needs to be very organized and energized when you're talking about events. You know, you're not calling 500 guys together to sit around and sing Kumbaya, right? Let's play a little euchre or something. No, it's more than that, And the timing's infrequent, so it's not something, you're not going to have a big event every week, because first of all, they'd lose their flavor, right?
Yeah.
And you'd burn out.
Yeah, no doubt.
So timing's infrequent. It should be something that's special and something that's over the top, excellent. And if you're going to do it with excellence. Amen?
Yeah.
I think what we do for the kingdom should be done with more excellence than anything Satan does for the world.
Yeah.
Come on. That's okay. So what are some pros to it? Well, you know, it can get men to invite others, right? There's something good about, you know, that event where it's invite friendly and hey man, we got this thing, go come on and join me, you know. We're doing burgers and brats, and it's going to be open gym, and we're having, you know, whatever, and this amazing guy, Daryl Booker, is coming down from Lima to speak, and it's going to be incredible, man. Come on and join us, and we got a comedy act with this guy, Aaron Pippen. He's going to be there, and come on out, you know what I mean? So, and then it allows ministry on a larger level.
Yeah.
So you're pouring a lot of, you're going to pour extra resources, more everything into it. Maybe you can't maintain this all the time, but it's good, do it. You know, playing big, right? And if you never shoot for the moon, you'll never get there, right? It can provide opportunities for the men to hear and worship with other men. Again, there is just something that happens when you get a bunch of men singing, you know, about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Right.
There's just something that happens in the climate. It's just, man, the anointing is there. It's incredible. And so, you know, these pros are these pros that are there. And then men can be more open and responsive. It's interesting, you know, now I've been gone a year, but previous, our children's pastor at Parma, he came to the Lord through an event. And then I come on staff, and he's a younger believer. We have a men's event. Actually, Cornell Jordan came and spoke for us. And we do this big event, and man up, you know, conference, weekend thing. And there was something about that environment and seeing other men down at the altar that maybe you don't always get, you know. And that opened his heart, and he got baptized in the Holy Spirit at that event. Then he gets called to ministry, and now he's still the next gen pastor there. Right? So something happens when you get men together. Are you with me?
Yeah.
One can put 1,000, 1,000 fight, two can put 10,000.
Yeah.
There's something that happens in that moment. And so we've got to embrace that. But what I've learned, and you probably already picked up on it, you know, again, these are models of ministry, but I think healthy ministry is really going to have all of these. It's going to have all of these things melded, you know, together. Relational driven, discipleship driven, events driven. Again, you know, with what we did with our outreach weekends like that. There was the relational aspect. We wanted time for people to break apart, talk over lunch, connect, you know what I mean? And there was the discipleship part, because we didn't want to bring them together just to have fun. We're bringing them together to meet Jesus, right? So there's that discipleship, and then, but obviously, we're pulling together. We got the whole men's team, you know, times we pulled from other churches, regional, putting together that band, whatever. Take it to the next level, right?
Yes.
Do it up big. Isn't Jesus worth it?
Yes.
And men are worth it, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, one thing about it's crazy. Here's the thing I've learned about men's and women's ministries. Women, they can have a tea party and have 500 women come out.
Right.
Like, what in the world? You know what I mean? Because
yeah.
They all want to get away from the kids. Like, that. We don't care what it is. We're out, man.
Yeah.
Bubby, you got the kids and we gone. You know, that. You know, men, you've got to do it well.
Yeah.
You got to do it well to get men out. And so let's do it well, right?
Yeah.
And let's you know, look at what. How do these things, you know, where are you at in your church? Is it all relational? You know, in Parma, we had Brian's here. You know what? We had a golf group. You guys even took trips, man. Go golfing out of state. You know, open gym basketball nights. We had, you know, a variety of things, right? Relational. We had a group of guys every week that got together and went bowling. It's bowl. You know, it was relational. It's good. That's important. But then discipleship. Brian was helping teach a men's, you know, class, discipleship class every week, right? They're getting into the Word, because that's got to be a part of it.
Amen.
And then we did those events. So it can't be just all about the event. It can't be just all about jam the Bible down the throat. And it can't be all about just let's be friends. It's got to be balanced ministry. Are we making sense?
Yeah.
Awesome. So what I'm going to do, I know these guys have got some things they want to share in your heart. I told them they got both 5 minutes apiece. All right. So Daryl, why don't you come first and tell them, Pastor Daryl has got this incredible event going at their church. Called Forge. And so tell us about it, and whatever God's got on your heart.
Sure. So when we came to Lima First back in 2018, they had an active men's ministries that on the surface seemed to be going fairly well. But how many know that when there's a change in leadership and you get someone in who is not a good leader, things can go south really quick? Mm-hmm. And I can say that because they don't go to our church anymore. But it was so bad and it got so toxic that our men's breakfast, that how many do men's breakfast? That does that work for you guys? It worked really good until it didn't. And then when we found that the same 10 guys, mainly older guys, were the only ones that were in, and there was really no excellence. It was shooting from the hip, and then it turned into be a gripe session.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, right? Listen, and I know we got ladies in here, but listen, gals, don't blame the gals for gossip. Guys, we're all just as bad.
Yeah.
We're all just as bad. Well, I got wind of that.
Just prayer requests. It's not gossip. Just prayer
requests. Just prayer requests. And got wind of that, and I don't play when it comes to that nonsense. And so what we did is I shut down the men's ministries, for about 5 or 6 months, and I let that thing go dormant. It was whatever remnants there was of that, it was gone. And the Lord began to lay upon my heart just everything that we have just talked about here. How can we incorporate something that will draw men, something that will feed their physical man, but also feed themselves spiritually? And out of that concept and idea came Forge. We do a one-night event that is meant to touch all of those areas. We do that 3 to 4 times a year. Now, our ladies at the church, they're kicking our butts. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. They had a tea party, just a couple. They had over 700 ladies from that place. And I thought to myself, the fire marshal's coming. He's coming. I know. There were ladies everywhere in that place. We got some work to do with Forge. But what we do is when they come in, guys, we've got axe throwing that's outside. We've had indoor archery. We've had indoor golf putt-putt things that are in there. This past Forge, it was all jersey night because it was, you know, the weekend of the Super Bowl. Everything football that was going on, videos, we do it upright. And we feed them. We feed them. We supply all the food. There are times like this past Forge, it was all pizza and water and pop. You know, it was like a Super Bowl party, right? Mm-hmm. But once we get through all of that beginning stuff, then it's 3, 2, 1, the clock is ticking. We enter into a time of passionate worship. And can I tell you, there's something about hearing men just sing and sing loud in the room. I could bring up live streams of what is happening and what's going on. And here's what's interesting. Once we get through worship and we bring in a special speaker, last time was Pastor Eric Smith out of Dayton, Ohio. This one, May 31st, I believe it is, it will be Pastor Gary Gray will come in, and he is the father of my son-in-law, Lucas Gray, who's on our staff. But once that happens, I'm telling you, there is a surge that happens at the altar, and men are coming and they are weeping, tears streaming down their face, guys getting saved. We have had men radically healed in the room that don't come to our church, that they don't understand what's happening to them. They're getting up on this one of these guys. Last year, a guy came up on the stage. I've never seen him in my life. He was like, something is happening, and I don't know, because they've come from a different denomination that very well may not understand the gifts of the Spirit and how God has ever moved. We had one guy, Lucas's brother. I'm watching my time. Watch for my buzzer. Lucas's brother, severe back injuries, and has had to have surgeries, and it was bad, and it really got down to where there's some painkiller stuff that really, you got to watch that stuff. And man, I'll tell you what, God rocked his world. He wasn't even supposed to be there that weekend, didn't even go to the service, didn't have any of the food, but walked in the back door, and as soon as he walked in, his face turns bright red. He comes down and falls to the ground. Guys laying hands on him, never met him before, and he gets up and down. He's since left Florida and moved to Lima because of that encounter that he had with the Lord at a men's gathering. Now some people would say, but that's an event. That's just an event. That's just, it only happens. We've got to have more than that. You know what? You're right. So what we do on our Wednesday nights, we have separate breakouts. Right now we have separate breakouts, and we've got a guys class, ladies class, and everything for children. And for that, we go through some video-driven curriculum, but then we break out into small groups. And after that, then we lay hands on each other and begin to pray. We're hitting every aspect of discipleship, out of relationship, out of events, and we're all packaged it in one big package called Forge, but we have a breakout night that we do on every Wednesday night. Guys, there's something important and something vital that has to happen within the heart of a guy. And if we'll stop being cheap in our churches. Can I just speak to that just for a second? We'll budget for everything else, but why in the world can't we budget for an event that will reach people? Well, I don't know. I just don't. Stop that nonsense. Stop a poverty mentality in budgeting. It's ministry. You're not meant to have it. Listen, if Jesus comes back and we got all the money in the bank, then we failed. Right? Let's minister to people. So on the practical side, how do we do that? We budget about $1,000 for every Forge. And by the time offerings come in, all that money, just generally, it all pays for itself. And we just by the generosity of people in the room that give. We don't charge for tickets. We don't charge it. We get stuff done. We have roasted hogs. We've had pulled pork nights. I mean, come on. Who doesn't want to come to Lima, right? Right? If you would like to come and just make the trip, it's on Friday nights. May 31st. Someone check that date, make sure it's a Friday. But if you'd like to come and just see, just get eyes on what we do. We can't be the only place. Other places have got to catch the vision and do something in their own churches. And that, for us, that is what we do. And it's working gangbusters, and we're not turning back.
Come on. Awesome. All right? Awesome. Awesome.
Hey guys, I'm starting my timer. Here we go. One of the big things for me is legacy. It's a huge passion point for me. I think a lot of that just comes from what my family generationally, even like only a generation away from me, didn't have. And so sometimes you know, as men, we can see a need in a young person's life because we had it or we did not. And so the legacy that is in my family is not because of my grandpa or my dad's grandpa. They were terrible, pathetic men. They were womanizers. They were abusive, verbally, physically, sexually. Okay? But God, right?
Yeah,
so my dad grows up in an environment like that, and he says, what I didn't have, that I will pass on. And so he has for my son. Excuse me.
Come on.
Because God transformed him, and because God transformed me through the generation, through my father, I have a son who knows Jesus.
Come on.
And I am raising him. He turned 13 last weekend. We had a ceremony. My brother-in-laws and my brother and my dad, my father-in-law and I, and we all wrote letters. This is what it is to be a man. We each had a category and a gift that went with that category, and we gave him the letter. We anointed him with oil, and as I prayed over him, I said, Today you know that you are a man. And sometimes in the conversations I'll have with men, I'll say, hey, when did you, I find this is like my fun little social experiment. When did you know that you became a man? And conversations range all over the place. I've had a guy that looked at me dead in the eye and was like, oh, the first time I got laid. And then he goes, well, I was 15, so, okay. And then other guys, oh, maybe boot camp. Oh, okay. Maybe when I got married. Oh man, I hope before that.
Yeah.
So what do we do to fill that gap, right? There's something that's missing, okay? Yeah. And so here's the thing of legacy. We understand that the definition is actually inheritance. Right, it's something that oftentimes comes through a will and it comes through being passed on from one generation to another. But what we sometimes confuse with legacy is popularity. And the actual definition of popularity, get this, is inexpensive. Mm-hmm. Common. Mm-hmm. Right? So we should not be men who provide something to our children, to the next generation, that is inexpensive.
Right.
That is common. It might be popular for this or for that, but we're going to do something different. We're going to leave an uncommon legacy, right? An uncommon inheritance,
yeah, yeah.
So that we're not bringing to the table what the rest of the world is bringing, and we're not just polishing something up just to try and make it shine.
That's right.
Okay? If it's a turd, it's a turd. We don't need to polish it. Let's get rid of it. Let's refine. Let's find something else. Right?
There's a quote for
yeah.
the day.
And I clean that up. I use the word turd. So what does that look like? Sometimes that looks like obscurity. John chapter 3, verse 30 says, he must increase and I must decrease. So maybe it's obscurity. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's not being the guy in the front of the room. Maybe it's not being the one that is actually doing the mentoring. Maybe it's mentoring the mentors. Okay? The behind the scenes. What does that look like? Psalm chapter 127 says, unless the Lord builds a house, they who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord guards a city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. It is futile for you to rise up early, to stay up late, to eat the bread of painful labor. Doesn't sound fun. Right? This is how he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, the children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. We so are children of one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gates. We are raising a generation that is encountering enemies at the gates, and they need to be the watchmen. They need to be the warriors. They need to be the ones that are holding the standard. And if they have not been trained in that, if they have not been discipled in that, if they haven't seen consistency in us, they will follow our example. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Some of you are not, but that is okay. I'm still talking to you. There's somebody older than you. Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in life, in love, in faith, in speech, and in your purity. And so your godliness is seen, and be consistent throughout. Set that standard. Be that example. Leave that legacy. Leave something that is uncommon. Why? Because God says that you are his chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are his special possession. That's what you are. He called you out of darkness into his wonderful light, and we need to be passing that on. That must be a legacy. That must be something that we do. So what? How do we do this? Maybe we build. Maybe some of you are more like Nehemiah and you need to rebuild. But there was a plan. God gave Nehemiah a vision. God gave Nehemiah a plan. And he knew he had to build, and he knew that there was time in rebuilding. But what he did was he built a team. He wrote out a plan. And he moved forward in the blessing and the anointing of God. And that's how we leave an uncommon legacy.
Come on. Come on. So let me just tell you real quick one thing that is so easy for any of you, any size church to do. Hopefully we got more than one spirit-filled band in the house, right?
Amen.
And in our churches. And so one of the events that really stuck out to me, we did a brats and burger night, you know, get the guys there. We said, hey, here's the food time, but here's the start time, right?
Yeah.
And so what we did, though, was we had all of our staff share our testimony because there's power in testimony, right?
Yeah.
We overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So every one of my staff shared their testimony about how they got baptized in the Holy Spirit, because it's very different, right? We have very different experiences. And we had, and so bridging the gap generationally, we had boys. Hey, dads, you got kids 13 and up, bring them with you.
Right.
And so we had boys there hearing these testimonies, you know, of their youth pastor, of me, of, you know, our school principal. Of this, you know what I'm saying? And they're hearing that testimony. And then guess what? We prayed, man. We put on the worship. We prayed. And we had guys get baptized in the Holy Spirit that night.
Yes.
And so simple. And then what did we do from there? Then we broke it loose. You want to go? Go. We got open gym. We're going to have the ping pong, foosball, basketball, 3-on-3. About killed myself that night. Yep. So, oh man, I'd like, it was killer. So there's things that you can do. You don't have to be a church of 500, 1,000, you know, to do a good event. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just make it bigger than what you do.